Now, we have understood that what are the items which can also be treated as business income apart from the profits. Now, I want to ask you a question, that if the assessee has got compensation, the assessee has got compensation from termination of an agreement. The assessee has got compensation from termination of an agreement. Suppose I am the dealer of this particular marker. The company authorizes me to sell it in entire Mumbai. And after 3 years, the company says that no, now you only deal in, say, Vileparle region. I tell to the company, sir, this is not acceptable to me because I have developed the market for the entire region, and after 5 years or 3 years, you are telling me to come down. I will not accept this agreement. I will go in the court of law and file a case against you. The person, the company pays me 5 lakhs rupees for agreeing to this condition, which is a new condition. Now the question arises, shall the compensation received on termination or on modification of the agreement, shall it also be treated as income first of all? 5 lakhs rupees, shall it be treated as an income? The answer is yes, it shall be treated as income. But if it is an income, then where it will go, under which head of income, this compensation? This compensation, there is a particular section under section 28, subsection 2, shall be treated as income profits from business or profession. This compensation shall be treated as profits from business or profession. Now, second point, if I am an exporter and the company I am exporting to, say, South Africa, I am exporting to South Africa certain medicines, and the government of India gives me assistance, gives me some amount for exports made by the company, by my company, to South Africa, and the government says, you have done a very good job, and for this particular export, over and above your profits, the government is giving you 2 lakhs rupees, or what you call it, assistance, cash assistance. In this case, the assistance provided by the government in the form of money, shall it also be treated as income? The answer is yes. If it is an income, where it will go? It shall also be treated as profits and gains of business or profession. So, my dear friends, the ambit, the gamut, the realm, the domain, the matrix of business income is very wide. Everything can be included in business. So, please understand, every single thing, if it is in the nature of trade, commerce or business, which has been carried on in a disciplined and organized activity with continuity, then can be, shall be, has to be treated as business. Now, I want to tell you another thing, that I have exported, say, a machine. Now, when I manufactured this machine in India, you know very well that on manufacturing the goods or on producing the goods in India, there is a concept of excise duty. Excise duty is a tax which is levied on the goods which are manufactured in India. Now, what do you mean by goods? There is a particular article 366, sub-article 12 of the Constitution of India, which defines what do you mean by goods. Goods means movable and marketable. Movable and marketable. So excise duty shall be levied on the goods which are movable, which are marketable. So excise duty cannot be levied on the bridge. The excise duty cannot be levied on the building. The excise duty cannot be levied on the dam because they are immovable. Excise duty can be levied on this. 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 Excise duty can be levied on any manufacturing process. There are certain exceptions. So when I have manufactured the goods, a machine in India, and I exported it, after manufacturing, I have to pay excise duty. Now the government says that this machine has not been sold in India. You have exported this machine out of the borders of India. We will refund this excise duty back to you. So my dear friends, if I paid rupees 50,000 excise duty and this machine is exported out of India, this excise duty, suppose government says that we will refund it back to you, this amount of refund back shall be treated as your income. Once it is your income, where it will be taxed? Once it is your income, it must and must and must be taxed under the head business or profession. So these are also the items. These are also the areas. Apart from business or profession, these are also the things which shall be treated as income from business or profession. Now, I already explained to you about the, you know, a dealer receiving motor car from the supplier. Then this will be treated as his business income, the value of the motor car. And in income tax, there is a particular section called section 28, subsection 4. This section 28, subsection 4 says, talks about perquisites. So if the dealer has received the motor car or received some incentive, then this incentive shall be treated as perquisite, and the value of that perquisite shall also be treated as, what you call it, business income. Now I want to ask you a question. Let us understand an example. There is a partnership firm, or say there is a partnership firm, and this partnership firm has two partners, A, B, C, or three partners. Now, this partnership firm is manufacturing, say, a mobile handset. Partnership firm has an industrial undertaking and manufacturing mobile handsets and sells these handsets in the market. Now, partner B says, I want to get out of the business. There is a tussle, there is a fight, there is a dispute between, what you call it, A, B and C. B says, I will come out of the partnership firm, I will cease to be the partner, I will retire from the partnership firm and I will do my separate business. Now this firm in which B is a partner, now he wants to retire and wants to do the same business separately. Same business. But separately now. Now this partnership firm is worried that if Mr. B retires from the firm and carries on the separate business in the same, same business separately, then this will create competition and this, the sales, the profits of this firm will be affected. Now they come to terms. The partnership firm makes an agreement, contract between B and the firm that Mr. B, we will give you 10 lakhs rupees for just on one condition, that you will not carry the same business for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. Why this amount is given? Because the firm does not want B to carry on the similar business to avoid the competition. Now this 10 lakhs rupees received by Mr. B from the partnership firm, shall this be treated as income in the hands of the B? The answer is yes. If it is income, under which head of income it shall go? Shall it be treated as income from other sources? Shall it be treated as income from capital gain? Shall it be treated as income from business? Shall it be treated as income from salary? Shall it be treated as income from house property? The answer is, this income of 10 lakhs rupees, this compensation, this amount which is received from the firm, shall be treated, has to be treated in the hands of Mr. B as his business or professional income. As his business or professional income. So there are many instances where we can say that these incomes shall also be treated as a income from business or profession. Second thing, again there is a compensation that okay, you will not give the patent, you will not give the know-how of this particular, or you will not share the technology after retirement. Then if the compensation is given for not sharing the technical knowledge with the other person and do the same business separately, then this compensation shall also be treated as income from business or profession under section 28, subsection 5A of the Income Tax Act. It shall be treated as business income under section 28, subsection 5A of the Income Tax Act. So, dear friends, have you not noticed that business income does not only include the profits of business, it also includes many other items such as compensation received for termination of the agreement or change in the terms of the agreement, amount received on sale of import licenses, cash assistance received on exports, duty drawback or custom duty refund on export shall also be treated as business income. Perquisites shall also be treated as business income under section 28, subsection 4 of the Income Tax Act. Not only that, if the salary, remuneration, bonus, commission, interest is received by the partner of the firm, that shall also be treated as income from business and profession in the hands of the partner. Over and above that, compensation received for agreeing not to carry on the similar business or not to share the technical know-how or patents or copyrights or technical information with the other party, some compensation received, that shall also be taxable as income from business or profession. This is how we have to understand. Now, I am going to deal with a very important topic. What about speculative transactions? Shall the speculative transactions profit be also taxable under the head income from business or profession? The answer is yes. First of all, let us understand, what do you mean by speculation? What is speculation? Let us understand, what do you mean by speculation? Speculation. Speculative transactions are defined under section 43, subsection 5 of the Income Tax Act. Now, what is speculation? Let us understand. I have ordered my dealer of gold that today the price of gold is 30 lakhs rupees per kg. I have ordered him that please purchase 1 kg of gold on my behalf. I just phoned him and he purchases 1 kg of gold on my behalf. And he confirms that yes, he has purchased it. So I have to pay 30 lakhs rupees for purchase of 1 kg of gold. However, on the same day, the price of the gold per kg goes to 32 lakhs. And I tell to the dealer that you sell off my gold. I tell him to sell it. Here I purchased it. Now the dealer sells it. Now dealer will give me 2 lakhs rupees profit after deducting his say brokerage. Now tell me, did I really purchase the gold? The gold did not come to me. I just asked him to purchase on my behalf and he has procured it on my behalf. But he did not give delivery to me of the gold. And when the price appreciated on the very same day to 32 lakhs rupees, that is 2 lakhs rupees more on the very same day, I tell to the broker or the dealer that please sell the gold which you have procured on my behalf. Now he sells it. Did I give the delivery of the gold from my business? No. We have shared only the difference between purchase and sale. Once the difference is shared, this difference is called as, what do you call it, speculation. I order my broker that please purchase 100 shares of X Limited. 4 rupees 10 per share. Now I tell him to purchase 100 shares at the rate of rupees 10 per share. And on the very same day, the market goes down and the same share becomes rupees 7 on the same day. I'm excited, I'm worried, I am tensed. I tell to the broker that please sell the shares or square up my transaction. Has the shares come into my demat account? No. Have I given the delivery from my demat account? No. We have just shared the transaction of purchase and sale and the difference is there. So what is my difference? 3 rupees is my loss per share. So on very same day, how much loss I incurred? 100 in 4 shares for 3 rupees loss. That is 300 rupees I will have to pay to my broker. This is speculation loss. This is speculation profit. This is speculation loss. Income tax says, under explanation 2 to section 28, explanation 2 to section 28 says that speculative transactions shall also be treated as business income. Now if you will see section 43 subsection 5, speculative transactions are defined under income tax. What it says? Any transaction which is periodically or ultimately settled otherwise than taking or giving the delivery, then it is a speculative transaction. Let us understand. Any transaction which is periodically or ultimately settled otherwise giving delivery or taking the delivery, then this will be a speculative gain, only sharing the difference. So this speculative transaction shall also be treated as business income. So dear friends, section 28 of the Income Tax Act is very important for you to understand what are the items which can also be treated under the head income from business or profession. So please give full attention own Section 28 of the Income Tax Act. Is that clear? Now, after understanding what is business income, you know very well that Section 28, Subsection 1 says that the profits of business or profession shall be taxable. Now, my dear friends, what do you mean by profits? Profits cannot be arrived without debiting the expenses in the profit and loss account. The profits cannot be arrived without debiting the expenses and losses in respect of that business. This is sales, this is income from business, other incidental incomes from the business. Now here, when I talk about expenses, does it mean that each and every expense shall be allowed as a deduction? There are rules that these expenses shall be allowed. So, the expenses are enumerated, the expenses are stated, the expenses are specified under the Income Tax Act. Now, what are those expenses which are allowable from what you call it business income as a deduction? And after allowing the same, after deducting the same, after claiming the same of these expenses, the difference shall be treated as profit. So here, there is a particular section. So first expenditure, so first expense is rent, rates, repairs, taxes, and insurance. For the building which is used for business. Rent, rates, repairs, taxes, insurance for the building. And the building must be used for business. There is a particular section called Section 30 of the Income Tax Act. Now, this section says that the rent, rates, repairs, taxes, insurance paid for the building, and the building should be utilized for the purposes of business, only in that condition shall be allowed as a deduction. Now, let us elaborate it. Section 30, subsection 1. Section 30, subsection A says that if the tenant has occupied the office, suppose this is my office, and I have given this on rent to the tenant, and tenant is using this office for his business. Now the question arises, the tenant pays the rent for this office. Can the tenant debit this rent in the profit and loss account? Rent payable. Yes, because this office is used by the tenant and the tenant is using this office for his business or profession, then this rent shall be allowable as a deduction. Why? Because Section 30 has authorized it. Is that clear? So Section 31 says that rent shall be allowed as a deduction. Now, suppose I do not give rent. Not only rent, the repair shall be allowed as a deduction in the hands of the tenant. Now, my dear friends, I don't give office on rent to somebody or to anybody. I use this office which is owned by me for my own business. Then you know very well, there is no question of paying rent to myself because it is my office. But if I carry out the repairs in the office, in my office, because I want to make my office fit, suitable for the business, when I carry out the repairs for my business, shall it be allowed as a deduction? The answer is yes. If the owner carries out the repairs, then it shall be allowed as a deduction. So what I want to say, that if the tenant has occupied the building, then in the hands of the tenant, while arriving the profits, any rent, taxes, repairs, insurance paid for the building which he means tenant, has occupied, shall be allowed as a deduction. Only one condition is there, that the rent, rates, repairs, taxes, insurance must be paid by the tenant for that building which is used by the tenant for the purposes of his business. Is that clear? Secondly, if I have not given the rent, my office, to anybody, and I carry out the business in my office, you will appreciate that there is no question of paying rent to myself. But I have to repair the office. I have to pay the municipal taxes. I have to pay the insurance for the protection of the building against the damage, against the destruction, against the riots, against the civil war, against the natural calamity, against the tsunami, against so many other things, against the fire, against the explosion, against the natural action, against the natural action of the God. Then this amount of insurance shall also be allowed as a deduction. What I want to say, my dear friend, section 30 is very simple. If you pay as a tenant rent to the landlord, or if you incur the expenses in the form of repairs, or in the taxes, or in the insurance, then that tenant shall get the deduction of these things. Similarly, if the owner carries on the business in his own office, then repairs will be allowed as a deduction, then what do you call it, taxes will be allowed as a deduction, then insurance paid shall be allowed as a deduction. This is called as section 30 of the Income Tax Act. But I have a question for you. This is my building. This is the building. I have given this building to the tenant. This is my office. I have given this office to the tenant, and tenant extends this office. He breaks the wall with my permission, and tenant extends this office now. And the cost of extension is 5 lakhs rupees. I want to know, shall this extension of the office be treated as the repairs? The answer is no. It is reconstruction. It is not a repairs. It's not a normal repair. What do you mean by repairs? Repairs means putting the thing back into the shape is called as repairs. But here, I have extended my office. The area has been extended. That is not repairs. So if that is called as, if this, there are two types of expenses, my dear friends. One is called as capital expense, capital expenditure, and another is called as revenue expenditure. Now what is capital expenditure? If the person has incurred the expenses on the assets, suppose I have got a computer and I purchase software, say Windows 8. I purchase the computer for rupees 2 lakhs and I purchase the Windows software program official version for rupees 20,000. Now this 20,000 rupees shall not be treated as a revenue expense. Revenue means regular. Revenue means normal. But this 20,000 rupees shall be treated as a capital expenditure, because capital expenditure means that amount of expense which increases the value of the assets. And this software, The utility of this software shall not be limited to only for 1 year. The utility of this software will be for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, etc. So do you, I want to say that when capital expenditure is that expenditure which enhances the value of the assets of the business, which is incurred for enhancement of the value of the asset, and the expenditure's utility is not limited only for 1 year. This is called as capital expenditure. So any expenditure which has been, which increases the value of the asset is called as capital expenditure, and mind it well. Capital expenditure cannot be treated as a normal expenditure. There's a difference between capital and revenue expense. Revenue expenditure is a normal expense. Stationery, printing and stationery, conveyance expenses, legal charges, motor car expenses, power fuel expenses, electricity charges, courier charges, audit fees, repairs and maintenance, these are revenue expenses. But revenue expenses will be debited in the profit and loss account, dear friends, please understand. Revenue expenses are debited in the profit and loss account. Revenue expenses are debited in the profit and loss account. Revenue expenses are debited in the profit and loss account. Whereas, capital expenses are debited to the assets itself. Meaning thereby, you increase the value of the assets, and the value of the asset is taken to the balance sheet, not in profit and loss account. Capital expenditure shall always be reflected in the balance sheet. Capital expenditure shall always be reflected in the balance sheet, and revenue expenditure shall always be taken to the profit and loss account debit side. Debit your expenses. When the rule of accountancy says debit the expenses, means debit your revenue expenses. And debit the capital expenditure means the expenditure shall add the value of the asset. That is called as capital expenses. Is that clear?